Amen. All right, let's look again. I'll start reading here at Ephesians chapter 6 and starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take thee the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet charged with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, underline that. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. Now tonight, I don't want to, if the Lord say the same, I don't want to preach this tonight. I want to teach this tonight. Because there is some understanding tonight you need to pick up on. You really do, because this is a powerful teaching. All right, now, this that I've just read is a picture of an armored soldier, a person with a helmet on and the armor of the breastplate and so forth and so on. That's the picture of the person. And it comes down and it says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts. Let's look at that same scripture, verse 16. And let's look at it in Amplified translation, if you please. In the Amplified translation, he says, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Let's go to the Living Bible translation, please, in the Living Bible translation. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith and stop the fiery arrow of the devil. How about the NIV translation, please? In the NIV translation, he says, God, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, where are these arrows being shot? At your mind. Now, that's where the warfare is. It's right there. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Now, he said, take the shield of faith. Of faith. Now, when you're talking about faith, you're talking about a condition where you have left the sense realm. That's what you're talking about. Whenever I talk to you about faith, you have left the sense realm. You're gone. You're gone. I don't care whether the senses are contrary evidence. It doesn't make any difference. Your faith is going to be in God. It's going to be in the Word of God, what God says. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, let's look at that. He says, fight, glory to God, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Let's just stop right there. Now, this fight of faith is us having opposing forces to us leaving the sense realm. And the enemy wants you in the sense realm. Because between you and I, if he can keep you in the sense realm, he can whip you every time. So I got to leave here. I have to leave the senses. Now, it does certain things to try to invade your faith, try to break your faith down. And one of the things it tells you over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he talks about the heart. He says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are going to be the issues of forces or boundaries of your life. So you got to watch, he said over in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Let's try that one and see if that's correct. He says, take heed what you hear. There's a lot of stuff on TV right now. And you got to take heed what you hear. And even I shared with you on Sunday over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 25. He said this, therefore I say to you, take no anxious thought for your life. Remember, I went to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. And I went over there and he said, be careful for nothing. And I looked at that in the Amplified translation. And in the Amplified translation, he said, don't worry or fret or have anxiety about anything. Now, I know what's going on. I know what's happening in television, saying this and this, so forth, and terrorism and so forth and so on. But as for you, I said, as for you, I got the word of God to ensure me that I'm going to be as a sheep in the middle of wolves. Say amen to this. As for me, if you look at, glory to God, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, look what he says here. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, come on, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I know it's going to happen to me. I tell you, I was on a major Christian station, and they were interviewing me, and they said, well, you know, so-and-so got in this and that, and he, you know, he, this happened to him. And I said, they said, what do you think happened? I said, well, I can't speculate on what happened, because some of this stuff we won't know till we get to heaven. I said, but I know what's going to happen to me. And I started Psalm 91 and verse 5. I started right there. And I said, well, let me tell you what's going to happen to me. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that waiteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come nigh me. Only with mine eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked, because I made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Now, that's what you got to feed yourself instead of feeding yourself on the news that comes on this television. Now, let me tell you something about a miracle. I saw this and I wrote it down because it had such power to it. When a miracle is not declared, its presence in the earth, in the natural world, becomes illegal. When a miracle is not declared, its presence in this earth, in this natural world, becomes illegal. See, I'm declaring here what some people might call a miracle. That I can be in the midst of something, and 1,000 will fall at one side, 10,000 right here, and it won't come nigh me. That is a miracle. But I got to decree a thing. So I say Psalm 91 every day. Every day. Well, I don't have time to pray. I didn't say pray. Say. Just say. Just say it. Praise God. If you don't have time to pray, say something. Let the redeemed say so. And I said something else. So I was doing a taping the other day, and I called one of our, I called Corinne and asked her, I said, what did I say when I was doing that taping? And she said, you said this, Pastor, if it's not in the Word, it's not in your vocabulary. Man, I like that. Boy, I said, now that'll do it right there. Now, why is that? Because I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador from where? Heaven. So I'm an ambassador of heaven sent to the earth to bring the kingdom here on this earth. Now, what is an ambassador supposed to say regarding any negotiation that he says whatever his government says? You are not allowed. You are illegal to say anything other than what your government says. Suppose it looks bad. That's the good fight of faith. It's holding to your confession in the midst of contrary circumstances. Why? Because the Word is all powerful. The Word is what created everything. The Word is what's holding everything together. And the Word will change anything. Praise God. I said I wasn't going to preach here. So what am I saying to you? When we're talking about faith, you must build your faith to the point that your faith makes you violent. Now, let's see what I mean by that. I ain't talking about get no gun, go out, shoot nobody. Look what it says in Matthew 11 and verse 12. Matthew 11 and verse 12. Okay? And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that we are to be violent against the devil's work. Who is that? Brother Hagin talking about this man. He said, the way you got to exert authority is a man was walking down the street and his little dog came out of the house and started walking, and the man was going to work, and he said, they're going back to the house, going back to the house. And the dog would stop for a minute, and then he started going, the dog would... And pretty soon he said, get! And the dog turned around and ran off. I'm saying sometimes you got to tell the devil, get! But situations in your life that come up, there should be a violent response to those situations, to take those situations out of your life immediately. Now, faith is connecting with God. Now, this is where your spiritual warfare comes in. And it's not just believing, but it's your connecting with God. And walking with God is impossible without faith. The Bible talks about Enoch walked with God. He had to have faith. You cannot partnership with God without faith. Because faith starts you seeing the way God sees. Faith start you to talk like God. Lord. Let me show you how powerful this is. Come back over to 1 Samuel. See, you can tell people that are in faith because they sound like God. Sure, they sound like God. Look what he says over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here is David sounded so much like God till his brothers got jealous. You know Jesus sounded like God because the demons even talked about. You think you're God. Look what it says here. And you know he's fully God and fully man, but he said he's God. He had a bit of ability aside. Look what it says here in verse 43. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And he says, and the Philistine said unto him, David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stave or a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, now you're coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to hear this. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day, not in a week. Now, you tell me, isn't this talking like God? This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. Watch this. I will smite you. That means I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your head off. And then I'm going to give all the carcasses of the host of the Philistines today to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a, come on, God in Israel. Folks, there's not only a God in Israel, but there's a God in you. And if he's in you, he wants to talk through you. And when you open your mouth, you're not talking about what I can do. You're talking about what the greater one that is in me can do. And you've got to talk like that for a miracle to happen. It's got to be declared. Boy, I'm preaching. You got to think like God. What does he say in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. He didn't say that for you to, that wasn't intended to mean that your thoughts are not supposed to be his thoughts. He's saying, wait a minute, you've fallen down here. Come on up. You're supposed to act the way God would act in every situation. I like what Ruth said. In her heart, she says, I'm not going to leave my mother-in-law. She's getting older. She's poor. Her sister left. But Ruth said, where you go, I'll go. Your God is my God. And what happened? God rewarded her. Gave her the richest man in the whole county. What was his name? Boaz. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? You should dare the way God dares. I dare you. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Here's what he says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, the God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, I dare you to put me in there. But if not, be it known unto thee. Now, he didn't say if not, he doesn't deliver us. No, just told you he's going to deliver you. God says he always delivers the righteous. Okay, that I'll let you know that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Look at the next verse. And when Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of fury. And in the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I mean, how do you heat up fire? Are you following what I'm saying? That soon as you defy the devil, he'll try to heat things up in your life. And you got to dare him. I dare you to do that. See, because the more you heat it up, the more you have to pay. You got to know. You got it. Folks, whatever the devil takes from you, he's got to bring it back. Say amen to that. The Bible says that Satan, when the thief is found, he's got to repay how many times? 7 times. Folks, you should get too expensive for him to deal with. Every time he does something to you, God's going to rip 7 times out of his hand and give it to you. Say it, do it again. I dare you to do it again, Satan. Look at verse 24 of Daniel chapter 3. And look at verse 24. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, glory to God, unto the king, true, O king. And the king, he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. I believe that's what God was after. He was after witnessing to the king. Now he said there were 4 men there walking around talking. Yeah, how y'all doing? Yeah. Praise God, yeah. Yeah, isn't this cool? You got what I'm saying? Isn't this cool? But I'm just saying, in your worst situation, you're going to be just walking, talking, like nothing's happening. Say amen to that. See, he said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, he said this. He said, when Jesus returns, well, let me read the whole thing. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, why is he saying that? Because the challenge is going to be so enormous in the last days. The Bible says, I think it's 2 Timothy in chapter 2. He said, in the last days, I think perilous times shall come. Let me just make sure I've got the right scripture there. Which scripture is that? That is 2 Timothy 3:1. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous time. Time's hard to deal with. But that's for the world. That's for people who don't know God. We're going to be having the best time of our life. But what I'm saying is, he's saying, will I find faith on the earth? So why is he saying that? Because the challenge is going to be so enormous. And one of the things that are going to make the challenge so enormous to walk by faith is going to be technology. Technology is going to be so advanced. See, I don't have to believe God for anything anymore. I just get a pacemaker. You know, I just go on internet. I don't have to believe God anymore. And technology is rising up so. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And thank God for technology to save people's lives. But I'm saying, what's happening to faith? What's happening? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall anoint the sick with oil. He said, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be what? Increased. And that's the times you're in. E.W. Kenyon said one of the biggest things that's going to happen is that the atmosphere is going to be filled with unbelief. And mainly, he said, because of technology. People don't need God anymore. They don't need God. But folks, we're going, my prediction is we're going to go past anything that technology can fix. Yeah. They don't rely on the armies, and when Patton prayed to get victories, and General George Washington, you should see the fact that he came home and his whole vest that he had, he pulled it off and it was full of bullet holes, but no bullets hit him. And so forth. I mean, these people who were praying. So prayer was given victory. And all of a sudden, what happened to prayer? People say, has it come to that? But that's what's happening. That's the attention is going to be given to other things other than God. And that's the enemy he's working, not in the church, not so in the church. We're going to be standing on the word. Amen. We're going to be standing on the word, because that's the only way you're going to get to the other side in some of these cases. All right, let me keep going. Now, there's nothing wrong with technology. Thank God for it. But let me tell you, folks, I use my faith on purpose. On purpose. If I detect a little something going on in my body, here comes faith. Here comes faith. I just say, okay, if you're not there, then go get yourself Excedrin, whatever it is. I haven't had a headache in 20 years. So look what it says. Now, so why? Because now you and I are supposed to be operating in the very class of God. Isn't that wonderful? So anything that comes in our lives, we supposed to be able to overcome it. I like that. Now listen, this takes teaching and knowledge to walk in this. You can't come out first day and walk in strong faith. At least I don't know anybody that has. But I'm just saying, I'm getting this lesson to you because you're going to have to use faith as a shield to protect your mind, that enemy wants to come through, because if he can defeat you in your mind, he can defeat you. Now, as soon as you talk about faith, it means that I just left the sense realm. All right, let's just deal with that for just a minute, because that's what the enemy doesn't want you to leave. Doesn't want you to leave that sense realm. All right, let's look at a couple of places here. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 11, please. You okay? Everybody okay? Yes. Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Now, what I'm doing now is helping you develop your faith. I'm encouraging you that faith is your ticket. It's going to take you there. It's going to take you there. You look at Jesus' life. Jesus never did anything with money. He did it all with faith. Now, he took money, of course, got Peter to get money to pay the taxes, but he got money by faith. Same answer this. And folks, we can use faith and command money. Ah, la ba shanda. Write that down. That's good. We can use faith and command money. We're money commanders. Money doesn't rule us. We rule money. And we got angels working to bring it. Say amen to that. Now the problem has been faith. It has not been the money or the angels. Look what it said, Luke 17, verse 11. All right, just a minute. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, what happened? They were cleansed. And one of them, which when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that returned to give glory to God saved the stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. How many of them got cleansed? All of them. How did Jesus know that? By faith. Do you realize I've said things to you on Sunday, and I go home on the way in the car going home, Satan start talking. Well, they ain't gonna believe none of that. Now, what is he trying to do to my faith in what I said to you? He's trying to take it away. See, I'm gonna leave my faith on you. See, when I release it, I'm gonna release it by faith. I'm gonna believe that somebody got it. See, and if you get what I got, you gonna do what I do because it's the same faith. Isn't this powerful stuff? So that enemy tried to get me to take my faith away. Who was it, Smith Wigglesworth? So what he did, he was in the healing line and he's laying hands on people. He got to this one man and said, what's wrong with you? And he gave an organ recital. He said, my heart and my lungs and my kidney and everything, you know, gave an organ recital. So what happened was, he took the man, balled up his fist and hit him in the stomach. Boom, the man buckled over and fell out. He went on down the line. They called him, said, Mr. Wigglesworth, this man is not breathing. He said, it's healed. Went on down, ministered a couple more people. Excuse me, Mr. Wigglesworth, this man is not breathing. I said he's healed. Went on down a little bit more, they called him again. Didn't I tell you he's healed? And when he said that, the man buckled and got up, went across the street and got some Mexican food from the Mexican place over there. And I'm just saying, now that's what the man told me. I'm just repeating what the man said. Now, my point to you was, he was trying to get Wigglesworth to back up on his faith. But you got to have violent faith. You got to say, wait a minute, I've spoken this thing, and the war is going to be right here. Now, I can't go by what I see. I can't be moved by contrary evidence. I've got to stay with what God said. I said that if I say it, he's going to back it, and that's all it is to it. Say amen to that. Are y'all with me? Another man came up. He came up, and I guess he was in the healing line two or three nights. And that last night, he was in the healing line. He came up to the step, and Mr. Wigglesworth said, didn't I get you healed last night? He said, well, yeah, but I don't feel nothing. He said, turn around, and kicked the man in his behind. The man fell off the step, totally healed. Totally healed. Now, I'm not advocating kick anybody in the behind off the stage. My point to you is that Wigglesworth wouldn't sink to the level of his soul. He wouldn't come down to a feeling level. He believed what he said is going to come to pass. He said, if God don't move me, I move God. He tell people, if you don't see signs and wonders based on whatever I spoke, don't believe a word I said. Now that's a violent faith. That's a man that not only knows faith, but he knows his God. And that's what God wants from you. Say amen to that. Folks, I got some stories now. So the healing for these 10 men was manifested as they went. So here's the deal. Turn to Exodus 15 and verse 6. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. Glory to God. God says this, that I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, 24. He said himself took our infirmities. He said, no, to his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we what? We were healed. Now I'm saying that what he's doing now is he is saying, wait a minute, the healing has already occurred. And what I'm doing is I'm manifesting what's already been done. And God has all they've got all of these bits of inheritance for you, the healing, the honor, the deliverance, everything. But your job is to take your faith and bring them into manifestation. And that's the fight that you're going to fight. Say amen to that. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10 and 2 Kings chapter 18, and we'll be closing for tonight. Let's Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2 and 3. Let's look at that first. Glory to God. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You are leaving the realm of the flesh. From this night, you will walk in faith that your flesh will no longer dictate to you where you are with God. From tonight, I decree that you are going to partner with God. And you're going to be able to receive from God. Look what he says here. I'll start reading here at verses 2 and 3. He says, and in the days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, and I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Come down to verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. Now I am come for thy what? Words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee to understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Now, isn't it interesting? Daniel started praying one day. And when he started, God heard and dispatched angels. Now, he fasted, a Daniel fast, 3 weeks. Daniel fast is, you know, eat no pineapple upside down cake. Or whatever. Fast the TV, fast something. But he fasted for 3 weeks. Man, why did I mention pineapple upside down? Okay, but he fasted for 3 weeks. Get behind me. See? And when he fasted for 3 weeks, the first day he prayed, God heard. But now the angel's trying to get through. Now, suppose in the middle of that 3 weeks, he would have said, oh, this ain't working. What would have happened? He would have stopped that thing from working. So he couldn't go based on what he felt. He couldn't base it based on what he saw. So the first day that you pray, God heard. If you pray according to the word of God, he hears you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He hears you. And if you know he hears you, whatever you ask, you know you have the petition that you desired of him. Have it when? Now, when you what? Pray. See, not now. When you pray, whenever you pray, you got it. You got it. If you pray tonight about your mother-in-law or your father or your son or whatever have you, you got it. Now, you got to pray according to the word of God. But if you pray according to that word and you pray and release that thing to God, which says, I'm not going to go by my senses anymore. I'm praying this. I know the warfare is going to come in between my prayer and there it is. So I'm bracing myself right now to thank God every day that that prayer has been answered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more. 2 Kings chapter 18. My goodness. Isn't this good?
Yes.
So, you are not looking for physical evidence that your prayer just got answered or what you said is going to come to pass. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Folks, I had to use that to get here. I had to use it to get here. I had to use it to get out of that building that we were in at Lake and Pulaski. I had to use it to get out of that building up there at, glory to God, I'm getting high in the Holy Ghost now, I'm feeling. I had to use it to get out of that building up there at Madison Street. I had to use it to get this shopping mall. I said, we got to use it to get everything. I had to use it to get that airplane. That was a major war in this recent airplane. Major. Man, I'm getting drunk. And major. See, I'm telling you the truth, praise God. So I'm just saying, if you don't have faith, perhaps, Lord have mercy. You know, when we got this shopping mall, we were down there at the lawyers. We were closing on the mall now. We were closing on this mall because I had to believe it by faith. And God came through. Now we're down there closing it. They had about six lawyers. We had about three. And we were closing all this paperwork. Paperwork was stacked up all around this long table. Stuff that I was going to have to sign, so forth and so on. Here we got closed on the mall. And I'm so drunk in the spirit. See, if God can't get you when you're not drunk, he'll get you drunk so that he can do something with you. You got to hear me now. I'm so drunk in the spirit until he said something to me. I heard him say it, but I couldn't process it, you know. And I asked the lawyer, I said, what's my answer? He said, just say yes. I said, yes. That's the state I was in. When we got done, that lawyer had to help me find my car in the parking garage. I didn't know where it was. Now, I think I sobered up behind the wheel, but I'm telling you right now, see, because God has this for you. And if he got to put you in a state where you have unusual faith, I mean, he has to give you an injection of faith. He's going to do that. I'm telling you, the God that you serve has all these provisions for you, and he made those provisions so you're going to get them. And I'm declaring that everything God says is yours, you're going to get. That this warfare is going to be a breeze for you. You're going to walk through it if you got to walk drunk. He gonna walk you drunk through it. But you gonna get that house. You gonna get that car. You gonna get those debts paid. You gonna get that healing. You gonna get that body part. Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, let me just tell you what happened. So in 2 Kings chapter 19, man, I'm telling you, 2 Kings chapter 19, what happens? Is this, I'm drunk, yeah. Hold on, let me go back up here. Amen. This is when the king, I can't even remember his name. King Hezekiah, I think it's Hezekiah. Yeah, Hezekiah, okay. So he was really being, the enemy is taking stuff from him. And when faith is not present, that's what happened. And what happened is he came in on his mind. He came in on his mind to the point, this is 2 Kings chapter 18. And now in the 14th year of Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So all the surrounding cities, he took those. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, it's 30 talents of gold. Talent is about a million. So it's about $30 million he told him to pay in gold. And then silver, told him to pay that too. And Hezekiah gave him not only silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah did cut off the gold from the doors of the temple. So he is ripping God's people and taking everything they've got because of fear. And that fear comes in. Now, we were in South America somewhere. But what happened is a Philippines, I think, or whatever. I think it's the Philippines. And what happened, I'm telling you, I'm just high in this golden gold. I had taken a whole Bible school, Bible class. I'd taken to the Philippines. And what happened was we were trying to get out of there, Satan was mad. So he made a whole monsoon come up. And we were the last airplane that they would let land at Manila. And we're coming from down in southern Philippines. And so we had landed and let us land. But we taxed it off the runway and they said, you can't come up to the airport because the water is 8 feet high at the airport. That's how high the water was. And so what happened, the water started subsiding. We sat out there for 2 or 3 or 4 hours and the water stopped subsiding. We start pulling up there. And then they said, you got to come in, but you go right out of the terminal because the water has got in the basement and got into the electrical system and all the lights are out in the terminal. So everybody go and you get put out. And everybody was standing on the outside of the terminal. Babies crying, raining, everything. It was a mess. So I said, Lord, have mercy. What do we do? Now, we're supposed to take the next plane out coming to America. But looked like they'd cancel everything. Lord, what do I do? He said, use your faith. Praise God. I said, all right. See, if it was me by myself, I would have been like Hezekiah. I could have made some decisions based on what's going to happen to me. But I got a whole bunch of folks that I'm responsible for. And that kind of puts a weight on you sometimes. So what happened is I had to make the decision for everybody. I said, okay. We're going to go to a hotel. I said, is there a hotel we can go to? Now, everything is involved in hotel. Money and money and money. You know what I mean? Right? So I don't know how we came up with it. We got the money and came to this hotel. And I got the room in the hotel and the rooms and everything. I said, what kind of hotel is this? Today, I don't know where that hotel came from. I believe God dropped that hotel down out of the sky for that purpose. Because I have never seen a room that fancy. I saw one in Dubai when I stayed in Dubai. But I have never seen a room in the United States as fancy as I saw that one. I said, wow, I could lay up here a couple of days, you know, I'm thinking now. But it was rain, the monsoon seasons, if you know anything about them in the East, I mean, they are just treacherous, you know. And so what happened? Now, Pastor, what are we going to do in the morning? All right, the question was, do we check out of the hotel and take all this group down to a terminal that's closed? Now, I hadn't gotten any word. We're waiting on a word that the terminal is open. We haven't heard anything. So I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to arrive at 6 o'clock. And we're going to get out of this place, and we're going back to America. We agreed on that thing, and I hope I'm telling it all right. Barbara probably, you can tell better than I can. But we got up. Everybody got together. Now, bags, now understand, we caught some kind of it looked like a cross between an old school bus and something to even get us to the hotel. Because you know the saints got a lot of bags, you know, even though we're supposed to be on bivouac, they still got a lot of bags and so forth. And so we get all the bags, get back to the airport. Now we're at the airport, and they had just opened the airport when we got there. So now we get in line to get our tickets, got our tickets, got on the 747. I'm laying back, I'm soaking wet. Look a mess, I'm telling you. And the flight attendant said, may I help you? I said, give me a change of clothes if you got some clothes in here. She said, just lay back and just, and I had the best meal. I slept almost all the way back. I mean, that was the toughest deal for my faith that I've had on a mission trip ever. And I found out something. I was saying, you got to pray to get in and pray to get out. And God corrected me on this last trip that we made to Guatemala. He said, why are you saying that? He said, did I say that? I said, no, sir. He said, what did I say? You said, I'm going to be blessed coming in and blessed coming out. And ever since I've said that, I've never had another problem going in and coming out. All right, so what happened? In 2 Kings chapter 19, a prophet gave him what to pray. And the king prayed what the prophet gave him. And once he prayed what the prophet gave him, watch this, he went to sleep. That's your act of faith. I'm going to sleep. That money didn't show up for this first closing that we had on this mall. And now we're coming up on the second closing and the money is not there. I decreed some things and the lawyer called me, Pastor, where is the money? I said, well, I believe I've received. Believe you with what? You believe you what? Where is the money? We need the money, Pastor. I hung that phone up, went home, and went to sleep. I pulled that cover over my head, said, tell them I'm not here. And just whoever called, what happened? A miracle took place. I'm just saying something. Sometimes you need a breakthrough. And you've got to stand for that breakthrough. I'm telling you, it might look bad right up to the end, but God will come through. Because the next thing you know, in 2 Kings 19, angels came. Watch this. And defeated all the Syrian soldiers, 185,000 of them. And watch this. The king woke up the next morning, and they were all dead bodies. Don't mess with God's people. And God's people, you walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. Give the Lord a praise for it. Glory to God. Woo. So you've got to declare that miracle for the miracle to be legal in the earth. You've got to say something. If you hear God spoken in your heart about being born again, this is a time that we want to pray for you. I realize that in your life, if you're like me, things were getting rough.